Welcome to an inspirational message by Pastor Harold Weiss, Senior Pastor at Little Falls Christian Center.
It's times like these when I realize the quality of having a good band on the platform. Something I desired. In early years in my life, we were at Rhema at a stage when I was still a student. And I remember I prophesied there. And I said, God will restore the broken down tabernacle of David in the last days. It's the place of worship. And I always desired. They took that prophecy and they published it in the Rhema paper of that day. And I remember, and I've always desired, that a good band would be the backup towards the people to assist you to get in the Spirit. Because it's in this atmosphere of worship that we live, where God touches people, heals people, saves people, delivers people, even without a hand touching you. Can you say amen? Give Jesus a praise offering right now. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Amy. All may be seated. Thank you very much. I remember the song that we began with there, which is the song, I'm Hungry. I'm Hungry for You. That particular song, what is the title of that song? And I Hunger for You. You know that one? I don't know the title. I'm Desperate for You. Hunger for You. I Long for You. I remember that song comes from a place with the name of Louisiana, near a place called Baton Rouge in Louisiana. And there is a man called Larry Stockstill there. I don't know what happened to Larry in the meantime, but he's been there a long time. And he had sons. And one of his sons, Jonathan, most probably wrote the song, I'm Desperate for You. And I remember we went there and we visited. And Yanni Yelava Somatons. And I remember now when they were singing the song, my mind goes back and I could still see the church there. We visited and all that. And then we had lunch. And I remember at the lunchtime, Jesse Duplantis came in there and they were all talking to Jesse Duplantis. I did not get involved. But at that time, we were eating at a place called Ralph and Cuckoo. What a name for a restaurant. But anyway, that was the name of the restaurant way back when. Amen. Kan jy dink? Ralph and Cuckoo, hey Yanni, long way back. And we went out there to see the church there at the time of a world famous evangelist, and he came to an end in his ministry, and there was a prophecy that the dormitory for a Bible school there would never be built, and that the birds of the air will fly in one side, fly in and make a nest, and fly out the other side. And it happened because the man of God had fallen away from the Lord into a situation of sin. And I read that in the newspapers. It came as one of the biggest shocks in my career when I saw a newspaper, and I thought, because when in those days I was still working in the SABC also. And I remember that newspaper report came through and it said, this man of God, the great man of God. And it was on the front page of the Citizen of that day. And I had an office. They bring me a newspaper in the morning. I had a very nice job there at the SABC and sat and read my newspaper, have a cup of coffee, get into this thing, this man of God. Man of God has fallen. When you start this race with Jesus, he begins to work on your life. The best thing under the sun is that you cooperate with him. Cooperate with him to the best of your ability. You see, you are unique. You see, you are here on a Sunday when many people opt to just do nothing on a Sunday. But you're here on a Sunday night. And so you will be richly rewarded, not by me, but him who lives in the power of an endless life. He is the God of restoration. He will restore all your life. He will bring things back to the place called normal. And that is, in fact, that Greek word, apokatastasis. That is the Greek that speaks about times of restoration of all things, whom heaven must must retain. Acts 3:19 and 20, 21 there, it says, you know, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out and times may come from the presence of the Lord. And then it talks about the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we preach, whom heaven must retain until the time of the restoration of all things. Let me say something about our God to you. That word restoration actually means bringing back to normal intent of God. It's to come back to what is normal. People don't understand that, but it's just like it is. Restoration involves, even in the Hebrew, it involves, it's a composite word there, where it talks about shuv. If I pronounce it like shuv, I'd come closer to it. It's when you return to God and he starts working on your life. You return to him, and then comes restoration. Throughout scriptures, God has been restoring people's lives. Throughout scriptures, people like you come to church on a Sunday night. Throughout scriptures, the greatest events happen in the lives of those that seek the Lord. In the moment that there's trouble, in the moment that there is a time of refreshing needed, a place where you rest from the heat of the day. Like I said this morning, like jumping in a nice ice cold swimming pool in the middle of summer and cooling down and enjoying the water. Times of refreshing. It's like standing under a shower, a cold shower, when the heat is on of the day. You come back to normal. You come back to that place of God's intention for your life. You know, it's like that. God wants to restore people many things. Now in 1 Samuel chapter number 30, we read about King David and the Amalekites. One of the beautiful stories in the Bible, 1 Samuel and 30. From the first verse, you read about the fact that David and his men, there were 600 of these men, returned from one of their missions. They were doing battles and things, and they were tired. They were coming home. And when they got there, there was a group of people called the Amalekites. Now this word Amalek is all over in what we call the Bible codes. Now the Bible codes, for those of you who don't know, these are based upon, algorithms of scripture. And then with computer research, they have formulas, and then they discover every so manyth letter of a chapter of a book, the first letter of, or so many letters per bracket of scripture will bring you messages concerning just about anything that happens on planet Earth. Scriptures of the Hebrew Aleph Tav, which is the alphabet. The Aleph Tav tells you each letter has a numerical value. Each numerical value gives you a total sum for a pictogram, which is a letter, letters making up a word. Those pictogram illustrations give you a picture. Those, the mathematical, what you call biblical mathematics, that run underneath these professors, a team of professors from various universities, even as far as New York. Professor Heraldik is the one there. And all these, Professor Dr. Rotenberg, and all these men that sit there and they look at it, they ask the computer to analyze the scripture and to see what is there in the scripture to be said about now, for example, with the invasion of the Gaza Strip, from the Gaza Strip at the time of 7th October, where they killed all those people out there at a place just next to the Gaza Strip. They dropped their God, and at that moment in time, there was calamity. It would change history. It would open up new chapters of world history. It would cause a big stir on the planet. But the fact of the matter is that God is with his people, like with King David, in the same region, in the same territory of country as that of Amalek. There were the Amalekites. Now, if you look at the Bible codes, to say this to you, just to conclude what I said there, is when you see trouble on the earth, when you see a warlike movement, the word Amalek means warlike, or a son of war, a warlike spirit. That spirit of Amalek went right through into modern times. When you see a battle breaking out like that there in Israel, immediately the Bible codes tells you the spirit behind it is the spirit of Amalek. And it'll give you the names of fallen angels also involved in that battle. And so you have the names of these angels. I won't get into the analysis of those names right now. But it tells you immediately which demonic forces are involved in that battle there at the time of the invasion of Israel on the 7th of October that took place like in the previous year. So we understand that Amalek is this warlike spirit. And oh yes, it was the cause of King Saul losing his kingdom when God, through Samuel the prophet, told him, Navi, Shemuel, tells him, prophet Samuel, tells him, go and take out Amalek. I have remembered what they did to Israel when they came out of Egypt. Go for Amalek and wipe them out. And he did not, and he was caught out. And Samuel, of course, confronted him. And so the kingdom of God was torn off from him, and it was given over to David, a man after God's heart. So David is dwelling in the wilderness out there in the southern mountains of Judea, just a beautiful flowing golden landscape. It is just a beautiful, it's the most beautiful barren area that you can think of on this planet. It is picturesque. It's like a piece of gold. And there in the mountains of Judea, because David was a Jew from Bethlehem, like Jesus from Bethlehem, the son of David and David. And so then he goes out there and he arrives at Ziklag. And when he gets there, he finds everything has been burnt down to pieces. Whatever they had has been destroyed. Their wives were taken. The children were taken. David had two wives at the time, and they were also captured. And the men that were with him, there's some 600 men, their wives were captured and taken and carried off out there by these Amalekites. This is a foul spirit. It is totally demonic. It is like totally demonic. It speaks of a specific coordinating evil principality that continuously attacks Israel and manifests itself in the presence of in so many wars that you see. You analyze that thing, you see it's Amalek every time. Amalek is the warlike spirit, comes in there. And so wants to disturb and take away the peace from the earth, like in the days of the Antichrist. So David gets there, and the men start weeping. They cry. They get out of control. Everything is gone. And what was house or a home today is now burned down to the ground. Only ash and maybe smoldering wood that remains after that. They were cut to the heart. And they were crying. And then, of course, these men start saying, okay, what are we going to do here? We're going to get this David and stone him. So David, like a natural thing, he feared. But then he turned to God. And the Bible says, and David feared, but then he turned to God and he strengthened himself in the power of the Almighty God. He strengthened himself in the Lord. There is a moment in time when God is working on your life, when things look so calamitous, to create a word right now. It's a calamity in operation. It's just like that. When things run wild around you, when you say, Lord, how can I get out of this situation? Let me tell you something. All options of restoring you back to normal is on the table with God. He can follow any route. Any option is open to him. He can decide to use you by spiritual warfare to break that yoke that comes against you. Take authority over those spirits, bind them in Jesus Christ's name. Can you say amen? He can take any option. Or if you do go into the battle like King David did here, God said, go, you will recover, and you will recover all. Restoration is a total restoration if it is of God. Go and do battle with the Amalekites. And so David immediately told the people, let's go. They consulted with the priest Abiathar, and there they had the Urim and the Thummim, of which we can say much for now, but let's move on. They consulted with God. The Lord spoke by the means of the communication of that priest Abiathar at the time. And now David moves out against the Amalekites. They are tired. They come to a brook, which is like a ravine. There are some of the men, 200 of them, they're just too tired. They can't carry on. They're chasing hard after the Amalekites. They find an Egyptian. He is a slave, was a slave, left behind. He was too weak. He had an Amalekite master, and he knew exactly where the Amalekites were. And he says to King David, they find him 3 days without food, without water. They're in the middle of the wilderness, and that place gets hot. You're at the point of death. If you fast a total fast, I'm not talking now Jesus or like Moses on the mountain. When you do just a normal fast, and you fast 3 days without food and water, you can die. And he was at the point of death. They picked him up. And David gave him food and said, okay, give him water, give him food. And once he was strengthened, said, what's going on? Where are the Amalekites? And he says, well, first swear to me that you will not kill me, but you'll spare my life, and I'll show you where they are. And he took them there. Now, they arrived there, and the Bible says, and David saw them there. They were spread out over the land. They were dancing. They were rejoicing. They were getting drunk. There were all sorts of things happening to them out there. And David saw that, and the Bible says, and he attacked them from twilight till the sun went down the following day. They took them on. They took them all out. None of them remained behind. There were 400 men that escaped on camels into the wilderness. It's a pity about that, but it did happen. And the fact of the matter is that David and them, in those days, if you have a problem, you deal with that enemy and deal with them thoroughly, because they will come back again and give you more trouble. Can you say amen? When you deal with the enemy in your life, do your prayers conclusively. Do your prayers forcefully. Take up the full armor of God on a daily basis and bind Satan. Come against your home, your finances, your children, your marriage, everything. You find unity and all things coming together like God upholds the universe. The Bible says he contains all things. Like in the book of Colossians, I think it's the 14th verse. In him all things consist. That means literally it's like glued together. This whole universe that is functioning, this known creation, the part of the creation that we can see. Of course, there is the unseen world where God Almighty lives, that's not to our senses and sensory perception, but it's where God is busy moving. And the angels are there, the holy angels of God. And so we don't have that access, except the Lord shows us by means of a vision. David attacks them, and he takes them out, and they recover everything. And like God does, he helps his anointed. He says, do not touch my anointed and do my prophets no harm. And when they attacked David's house and they attacked those people, let me tell you something about anointed. Do not touch my anointed and do my prophets, the Navi'im, don't do them any harm. And so David was one of them that was anointed. And King David was in fact a very prophetic man. He operated even as a priest, as he danced before the Ark of the Covenant in the clothing of a priest. And he operated as a prophet and as a king. So he had all that anointing on his life. The anointing on your life comes from the moment that you make a true commitment to God. You cannot get the fullness of God on your life without a full repentance. The full repentance is what causes everything to fall into place. You have to get to a place where really there is now nothing in your life that you still want to do instead of being devoted to God. Now the Lord begins to bless you in your workplace. So somebody says, you know what, I'm working in a place and everybody there is against me. And you know, this is wrong and that. You know, in fact, the other night we had a case like that. You know, everything is not working out for me in the workplace. But I never responded in that moment. I just kept quiet. Because in the home cell context, a home fellowship context from now on, in that home fellowship, in that context, I was saying, you know what? If you're blessed of God, God will bless the whole house of Potiphar because Joseph is there. God will bless your work because you are there. Don't you run around moaning about your work. Do all things as unto the Lord. Put your all your might into that job. Listen to me. Do all things as unto the Lord. Don't die when you come across the doorstep at the workplace. When you walk in the door, say, hallelujah, man, I'm here. I'm a servant of God. What can I do? Be productive. God will bless you. You're the one who's going to walk out with a promotion. Give the Lord a praise offering right now. Oh, you know, the figures of the company is just going down. All the things are going down. There's a man, he's not here tonight, that I saw a vision, and I saw him in a factory. And it was a factory of sorts. I didn't know what kind of factory that was. They were making cables. And I saw the factory, and I saw the leadership of that company. They were making copper cables and things, you know, and there was a demand for them. And at that time, the shares of the company was very low. And he got somehow involved with these people. And I said to him, I've got a vision for you. I saw you standing in the middle of a very disorganized factory and all these things. But you're standing there with a big, big smile. Now, let me tell you something. In the future, that company will take off. And he invested there. And I can read you. Now, I've got my cell phone with me. But I can read you where he says, they have suddenly taken off. The company is now flourishing. They're making a lot of money. He says they've had record income. I've got it in writing on my phone. I could read it to you. You see, what God says in the future is depending on what your commitment is like in the now. You know, if you come to the Lord and you seek him with all your heart, you know, it's just like, there's a scripture, catch the little foxes. The little foxes that spoil the vine. Little things have great impact. And in a final analysis, the more you grow in the Lord, the less tolerance there is about the little foxes. Little things that you say, I can keep on doing this, it'll be okay. Because it's not okay. It's either good or it's bad. It's light or it's darkness. It is God-blessed or it's under the curse. Every step away from Jesus, I was speaking about normality this morning, in my experience with my studies and things, when I found out that the example of what is normal is to be Christ-like. You know, if you look at psychological profiles, they've got all kinds of what you would call in Afrikaans language, seelsiektes, mental disorders, all kinds. Then they slap a title on somebody. Then he walks around. He's now this. You know, I've got PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, and here I am. Now, I've got the right because of that title. I can be funny. I can now be funny because I'm carrying a title. I don't carry no title. You don't carry no titles. Don't let them slap a title on your life. You are more than just a title. You got the mind of Christ. You got the power of the Holy Spirit. You got the anointing that breaks the yoke. God will give you a total recovery of everything the devil has stolen from you. Might as well say amen. I mean, stand up, give the Lord a good praise offering. Hallelujah. And if you praise God in this place, begin to praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on. Thank you very much. You may be seated, but you know, David comes back and he's recovered everything that he's lost. In fact, he's got so much, he begins to send some gifts to the elders out there in Judah. Soon he would become the king of Judah, reigning for 7 years in Hebron, which is Kiryat Yaba, which is Hebron of now. Beautiful place. Right there by the tombs of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and their wives. Only Rachel is buried between Jerusalem and Bethlehem. If God works on you, he will bless your business because you make the difference. That man invested in the company, and now they're flying. And he's so blessed. I want to tell you something. Get rid of little things that you really think it's time that you get rid of those things. Just destroy it. If your hand bothers you, chop it off. What did Jesus say those words? He said, pluck out your eye if necessary. It's better for you to lose your eye then wind up in hell. Did he say it or did I say it now? Jesus said that on the Sermon of the Mount. It is, in fact, the draft the constitution of the kingdom of God. When Jesus let, I want to say let rips or whatever you say there. Excuse me. When Jesus says those words, blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed is the Greek word makarios. Makarios means there are things in the Greek culture that were only accessible by gods and for gods. By using the word makarios in the Bible, it means that which is in the past, those things associated like for gods only, has now come down to you because you are now citizens of the kingdom of God. You have power, you have authority. You can tread on serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy, hit the floor on your knees and pray. Makarios, the kingdom of God, of the one true God, is now available to you. In the last hour, there'll be many false idols that surround the people, distracting many, going into another field, piercing themselves into sorrows, afflicting themselves because of distractions. It's like distraction that takes you off the course. There you go again. Every step towards darkness is away from Jesus, is towards darkness, until darkness totally overtakes that soul. And then the devil sits behind the steering wheel and misery follows. And we pick up a guy, ultimately I think he's now a long time dead, sitting next to the road. He was in Bible school. He left everything. Came out here from somewhere out there, the West Rand. You know, you get Potchefstroom, and then beyond Potchefstroom, there's another town there, Klerksdorp. That area, sold everything, came in to go to Bible school. And then towards the end, he was sitting at the back of the Bible school. He sat right in front first. And I noticed he was literally backsliding by chair. So finally, he sat at the back. And then he slipped out and he was gone. And that he chose the world. And they picked him up there in Florida, near Florida Lake. Some of the students found him there, sitting and weeping on the side of the road. He'd lost everything. Every step away from Jesus is a step towards what is abnormal. Abnormal. Much more. Until they become part of now a new normal out here. You better believe there's a new normal out there. The devil's got one too. Might as well say amen. You're going to have to say oh my. Might as well say amen, or you have to say oh my. Might as well give Jesus Christ, the Lord, a praise offering for bringing you back on track. Back on track. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Until a poor soul. I remember a vision of the night. And it's just this the wild situation. There was an angel with me standing there, and in front of me there were many waters. They were dark. They were like awesome, meaning almost like fearful. I know the sea, and I know if you go into deep water, if you go one of the passenger liners, you get like there by Cuba, the Cuban Trench. You look there, the water's black. Seawater is not black because at a certain level it has already absorbed absolutely all light. You look down, you see black water. It looks like it's black. And I saw that black waters. And I thought, what's this? And the next thing, this angel lifted me up in a vision. And I was going over the waters. And as I went over the waters, as I'm looking down, I see people, but they're naked. They got no clothes on. And they are fornicating. They are fornicating terribly. They're committing all the atrocities that you don't even want to think of. They're doing these things. But then I noticed another thing. Because somehow that thing was edited that I would not see the whole thing. But I knew very well that they're getting up to. But I saw them sinking deeper into that darkness of the waters and deeper. And ultimately they disappear. And crying and shouts and terror and agony came from the depths of the ocean of that kind. And there they were now going under the control of the demon spirits, torturing their souls. And the angel took me across to the other side. There was a land there. It was completely beautiful. It was completely beautiful. I've had this in visions of the night. It's just the way it works with me. Since the day I started praying, since that day, the Lord opened up my eyes and I could see things. And so I looked and I realized the terror that awaits those who have gone abnormal, have gone step away from Jesus, step away from Jesus, step away from Jesus, until darkness on all sides, sinking deeper into that darkness until blindness in totality is taken over, and then go to the lower parts of the earth to be tormented. What an exchange. You see, to me, I want to be very honest with you. To me, life after death is clearly, definitely, no question about it. It's there and it exists. In all of my research over the last 40 years, I've seen it over and over in visions, in dreams. I have seen this and I realize that it's merely, death is merely a transition. That's all it is. It is an escape. It's an escape from the bondage of things like even gravity that we have on earth. The forces of physics. Just even gravity. One of our students in the Bible school got into an accident. She died. She and her husband had, and she was flung out of the car and she was dead. And they ran to her and they started praying for her. And she felt immediately, she was out of the body, looked at the whole thing. There's the crash scene. She's looking at the situation and she's saying, oh, I don't want to go back to that. I feel free. I am free. I am actually free. No pain, nothing. I'm very much alive. And that body that's there, that's not breathing, no heartbeat, no nothing, I don't want to go back to that body. I don't want to go and experience that pain all over again. And she resisted going back because above her was a tunnel of light into heaven. Now, I've heard so much about that. I've read so much about it. I've researched so much about it. Above her was this tunnel of light drawing her up towards the heaven. And her name was Stella. And Stella was lying there on the ground. And then the people there, the Christians there, formed a circle and started calling her back and said, Lord Jesus, bring back her life. And against her will, she entered her body and started breathing again. And she sat in the Bible school in the very first groups that I had, 1986. And she says, there's not even a comparison with the feeling experienced then. For I know of a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I can't tell that such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, can't say that such a man was caught up into paradise, into the third heaven, where he heard words unutterable to be spoken. If such a man, said the Apostle Paul, I would boast. When you make the connection this side of the grave, it takes you through to the other side into glory. It's like it is. Without Jesus, you really have nothing. I said, without Jesus, you really have nothing. In fact, you don't even have a role model of what is normal. Nothing. There's no reference, no point of reference. Nothing. I actually feel sorry for those people that are like atheists. You know, they have a hard time believing that they don't believe. Well, I believe there's no such thing as religion and faith towards God of all those things. I believe. You do what? It's interesting that you're believing right now because you just said, I believe. Now, that is your ticket to heaven. If you swing that thing around, you say, Jesus is Lord of my life. Can you say amen? Amen. Would you bow your heads, everybody? Everybody bow your head right now. I want nobody to look around. I want nobody to look around. I'm talking to you. And I mean, that's just you. I'm not talking to the people around you. Neither a girlfriend or a boyfriend or friends or a husband or a wife. I'm talking to you. God is talking to you tonight. If you have come into this place and you have never purposely committed your life to Jesus Christ and yielded so that you may be saved from the power of darkness and come into the kingdom of God and get eternal life, that your name be written in the Lamb of God's book of life. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you believe in your heart that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead, you'll be saved. You'll be saved. Confess Him and believe in Him. Simple as that. But you've got to do the confession. You've got to do the believing. I can help you. I've done this over and over through the years. Make a prayer with you and pray for you. You see, you are that valuable. And the devil has never done nothing for you. In fact, it's the opposite. He's only done damage. Make life a misery. But now you say, Pastor, ek is moeg om so te sukkel. Ek wil nie meer so aangaan nie. Life is one long misery without making any form of commitment to the Lord. And I want to tell you something. I just want to commit my life to Jesus tonight. Or you might say, well, you know what? I had like a wishy-washy kind of relationship with God. Then I'm there, then I'm not there. Then I come to church, then I don't go. Then I stay away 6 weeks. Then I come back again. Then it's a quarter of a term. Maybe once a year I come to a Christmas service. You say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. Then I want to pray for you now. All you have to do, terwyl elkeen die hoof buig, nobody looks around right now. Because God is busy with you. And He's asking you a question. Did you commit your life? If Jesus said it, He would say to you, did you commit your life to me? Did you do that? You say, Pastor, I want you to pray and help me to do that. I've got all the experience in the world for that. I can help you. I'd love to actually help you. Don't go out here without that. Just slip up your hand and I'll see you and I'll pray for you. Wherever you are, God bless you. I see that hand. Anybody else say, Pastor, pray for me also. There's another one. God bless you. God bless you. I see those hands going up right now. There, over there, yes, there's another one. God bless you. Wonderful. Over there, God bless you. But you know, it's what I call the moment of truth. I once sat in the church out there up on the top of the hill close to what now is Johannesburg University in a church called Universiteitsig. They made an altar call. And I tell you, I was weeping inside until furthermore, I could not hold it anymore. I just had to just get to the front. They prayed for me. Tears were rolling down my cheeks. I would never be the same ever again. You are there now. You are where I was in that year, way back there, about 1981. I stood like that and I was shaking because I admitted life doesn't make sense without Jesus. Case in point. But you say, Pastor, I've neglected the Lord in my life. Pray for me also. I want to make a comeback. There's a song, I have returned to the God of my fathers. You say, Pastor, I want to make a comeback and a rededication of my life. Stick your hand up as you live in the year of the to way. You want to do that also? God bless you. I see that hand. Anybody else? Yes, yes, I see those hands. People's hands are going up. Don't let the devil keep that hand down. God bless you. People are being touched by God tonight in this place. I just feel for that one lonely soul. God bless you. See your hand over there. That one lonely soul. And the Lord is speaking straight to your heart. In fact, it's coming. God bless you. It's coming straight to your heart. Straight. And you cannot hold it. God bless you too, sir. You can't hold back. There's another lady. God bless you. And God bless you. You see, this is it. This is the way God moves. He gets people to make a commitment. And finally, Jesus said, he who is ashamed of me in this generation, of him shall I be ashamed in the presence of my Father. Tonight, can you say, I belong to Jesus boldly and receive him in the prime place in your heart that for once you can be blessed of God. For once, you can experience life as it ought to be. For once, you can come out of that darkness. For once, you can also enjoy it. Raise your hands. This is my last call now. God bless you. I see that hand. I see more hands going up. People raising hands. That's right. Raise your hand. That's right. There's another one over there. That's right. I'm going to ask all these people that raise their hands, would you stand up for me, please? Because you're all over. Start it for me. Wherever you are, you raise your hand, stand up. Wherever you are, please stand. Let me see you. Okay, those of you that are standing right now, please walk to me. I want to pray right here. Come na mai tu. Just walk forward. Just come forward. Just come forward. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I think we need to give the Lord another praise offering right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Change is coming. Major change is coming to you. Because you've resorted to just about anything to get yourself out of trouble. Now from here, the Bible says, cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. From a situation where you are to a situation of holiness and purity, you live a new life altogether. You will be blessed of God in your future. And nothing can stop that. You pray, you obey, the Lord be with you. He will answer your prayers. Everything will change for you. All of these people in the front, bless you. Bless all of you. Bless you. God loves you. Amen. Now, all of you in the front, look at me. You'll have a voorstand, kijk vir my. Just raise your hands like that to the Lord. Close your eyes and begin to pray after me and say these words. According to the Bible, I now confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe in my heart that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead. Therefore, I'm saved. Lord Jesus, come into my heart, save my soul, wash me in your blood, forgive me for everything I've done wrong and my sins. I repent right here and now, and I give you my life. I pray that you write my name in the book of life. I thank you for filling me with the Holy Spirit. I now belong to Jesus Christ. Jesus is Lord of my life from now and forevermore. Everybody give the Lord a praise offering first in this place. Hallelujah. See this book, it's called the Bible. As quick as you can, start reading it. Get one, they're all over the place. You can get one, they don't have to be the most expensive ones. Bibles work. They always work. You read them and God will be with you and help you. And then read the Bible. And as you read the Bible, you begin to pray. Let your prayer life come right. Now, at this point, that pastor standing over there wants to just say hello to you. We would like to meet you and give you a little bit of VIP treatment. Gaan het gou achter hom aan and just go and say hello to those people. They'd love to meet you. Go through and be blessed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Give God a praise offering, everybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Life changes. He's smiling now. Say, let no baie better. Amen. Come, sir. Move along. Amen. Now, the rest of you, all of you, just stand for me, please. How many of you love Jesus tonight? How many of you want to really do the same as I've just prayed for these people? Now tell me, Acts chapter number 2 and verse 38. Acts chapter number 11, chapter number 10 and 11, Acts chapter number 19. Even further, where you have the man called the jailer of Philippi. Peter on the day of Pentecost said these words, repent and be baptized. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls came in. Not far from the upper room, just going down the hill there, is a place called the Pool of Siloam. They were baptized. That thing's like a giant public pool, but there for purification purposes. They were baptizing people in that Pool of Siloam on the day of Pentecost. All over Jerusalem, the report went out. The church had been born on the day of Pentecost. That's Pentecost. On the day that they gave the law to Moses, 3,000 people died because the letter kills that build a golden calf. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out. 3,000 people were saved, the opposite. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Jesus said in John 6:63, he said, the words that I speak to are spirit and life. I say to you today, those of you who have been baptized, and you only, in truth and integrity, you may be seated. Only you. The rest of you remain standing. If you've not been baptized, it means you stand. Now I'm going to do, tonight there's going to be a very quick baptism. We're going to do a baptism, then I'm going to go down personally and by the wall stand there and help you to go under the water there, because so that you can for once bury that old man that draws you back to Egypt. You see, they came out of Egypt and they had to cross the Red Sea there. And at that moment in time, God divided the waters, 1 Corinthians 10, and they were all baptized into Moses as a nation. Now we're baptized into Christ, into the body of Christ. Now what we do is, on the day of Pentecost, they started. Peter, the appointed leader of the total church of Jesus Christ, on Pentecost say, believe and be baptized. That means I'm a believer, I must be baptized. That means completely immersed, fully underwater, I have got to be. Baptizo means go under the water. Like you have a rusk and you have a spoon and you push that rusk right under the water and you bring it out, it's been baptized in the tea or the coffee. Same thing. You leave the old nature behind. Now we have got some clothing and we have got some things here available. And those of you, the men go right to the end there and you go in there, and the ladies go on this side, they'll help you. We'll have you baptized. I will personally put my hand on you as you're baptized to give you a blessing. Would you go ahead, please? And those who are going to be baptized anyway, you come along too. If you come and you're ready to be baptized, you go along as well. Just get up and go there and give the Lord a praise offering. Rise and be healed. God is the God of restoration, you know. Look at them go here. God is the God of restoration. Amen. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. To the place of the peaceful waters. He prepares the table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord God Almighty forever and ever. Psalm 27. One thing I have desired of the Lord, and that is that I may always dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. The best place where there's peace, like a river, like a fountain, is in the house of the Lord. This is where God touches people, where God heals people, sets the captives free. Can you say amen? You've walked a long road with the Lord. It's not like one day. Julle mense is mal lief vir die Here, kom ek agter so. Jy Afrikaans. Jy is Afrikaans. So I can speak to you in Afrikaans. Ja, al sal ek die tale van engele en mense en engele spreek, maar ek het nie liefde nie. Dan sou ek 'n klinkende metaal en lydende simbool gewees, maar hier's nog een. Hulle sê, al sou ek die tale van mense en engele spreek, dan kan nie Afrikaans praat nie. Language is communication. I want to learn it. Because the better I know it, the better I can communicate. People say, well, you know what? We don't want to do Latin at high school. Voco, vocas, vocat, vocamus, vocatus, vocant. But at the end of the day, when you master that language, gives you a lekker gevoel, nou net mooi hierso. Because you realize it's part of the foundation of life, communication. Everybody says communication. You know what the biggest breakdown in marriages are that we find or is a word called communication. If communication in a marriage breaks down, the marriage breaks down. If there's no further time to talk to one another and sort things out, then you have division. When you have division, you have separation. We have separation. You're setting the foundation for evil spirits to come along. That's why the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and it talks there, it says, do not withdraw from one another except for mutual consent. Then come together lest Satan takes you into this. There's a snare of the devil laid for you by the devil himself. Communication, fellowship, marriage is powerful when you're together. Much weaker when you're separated. When you're together and you pray, one shall put 1,000 to flight, 2, 10,000. When you're separated, the devil knows that too. But if you're in Christ Jesus and you've been separated by God unto service for Him, and you and your wife both commit to the Lord and to His house all the days of your life, then the Bible says the devil can't put a wedge in, that evil one can't touch them. Is dit reg? Ek het tot 'n lig daar. Somebody's holding a torch there in that corner. Amen. Rudolf, toe ek jou ouderdom was, was ek al in die water gewees. Jy is bang vir die water. All right. They can come here by the, close to the wall, I'll bless them. And when somebody's just gone under the water, I want you to give the Lord a good praise offering, okay? And what is this man's name? He must come here and turn sideways. Look before him too. What's his name? Ivor. Ivor, what's your surname? Hoff. Ivor Hoff. Everybody, in the name of God the Father and God the Son, come, where are you? I baptize you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Give the Lord a praise offering. Hallelujah. Come, ladies. Hulle kom hier met die trap af, hulle glimlag so van oor tot oor. They know it's the end of the old nature. They know it. They know it. Turn it sideways for me, please. What's your name?
Anja.
Anja.
Yes.
That is like a, is that a biggie van a Hollandse naam, a Nederlandse naam?
I think so.
Jy dink so.
Ja.
All right, Anja, what's your van?
Engelbrecht.
Engelbrecht. Anja Engelbrecht, everybody. Turn sideways, look towards that pastor over there. I baptize you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And everybody say, amen. Amen. There we are. Give the Lord a praise offering. Hallelujah. Come, next one. Wherever the next one is, just come through. Hulle moet vinniger kom. This young man standing over here, bring him. Come. Come. What's your name? Eh? Omogosli. Omogosli. Yes. And your surname?
Shabala.
Shabala. Shabala. Omogosli Shabala. Is that right? That's it. I baptize you in the name of God the Father, God the, raise your hands here, and God the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name be baptized. Give Lord a praise offering. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What's this lady's name? What?
Marion.
Marion?
Marion Schaefer.
Marion Schaefer. 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 All right. Marion, ons doop jou in die naam van die Vader en van die Seun en van die Heilige Gees. Nou in Jesus' naam. Here we go. Give the Lord another praise offering. Hallelujah. You ought to be glad. How many of you had this experience also? Wave with your hands right now. Kijk nou net daar. Kijk nou, give God a praise offering for all those hands. Jacques van Aert. Ek doop jou in die naam van die Vader en van die Seun en van die Heilige Gees. Nou in die naam van Jesus. Give the Lord yet another praise offering. Amen. Adam. Adam, you're definitely not the first Adam, okay? His name's Adam. And Adam Tar, I baptize you in the name of God the Almighty Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Give God a good praise offering, everybody. Right. Congratulations and be blessed of God. Listen, I remember those guys. There was a man called Arthur Africa. They were out there in Ennerdale. They were baptizing people. They said those people in that place there in the south of Johannesburg, in that township there, he says they're full of demons. And then those demons say, no, 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 don't. He says, they go under the water, the demons go behind. They're not there. They flee in another direction. Naratu Shabalala. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, we baptize you as the church of the living God. Here we go. Amen. I never knew I could do it that easy. Because, you know, a lot of people say, Pastor, I'll come, but I want you to baptize me. Well, I'm doing it now, aren't I?
Jaden Shaliol.
All right. I baptize you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And all God people says, Amen. There we go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hear you there on the other side. Mwanga? Mudao. I baptize you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And all God's people say,
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord. They got to be faster. Where's his sister? He wants to be baptized with his sister. What's her name? What's his name? And the mother. All together, I need. I tell you, that's a once off. Never seen that before. Never done that before. Whole family one time under the water. Give Jesus a good praise offering. Amen. Those pastors are going to baptize you as one. You just go together and you come out together. Just touch my hand, please. In Jesus' name, you're blessed now. You're blessed now. You're blessed now. All right. Now, you're baptized in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, in Jesus' name, give God a good praise of you. Woo! Yes! Well, what's happening at Little Falls? No. No compromise. Christian Center, where we don't compromise with the constitution of the kingdom of God, which is the word of God. Can you say amen? And by the way, God still does miracles, signs and wonders, fills people with the Holy Ghost every time, everywhere. Give Jesus a proper praise offering. Amen. There's a young man I'm facing, and I'm waiting for his name. What?
Utandile Koti.
All right. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, be baptized right now into the body of Jesus Christ. Man, I tell you, this is good. And here comes yet another little one. That water's not cold. It's nice. It's nice. I feel like swimming right now. It's nice.
Tanduketsu.
I baptize you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, in Jesus' name, give the Lord yet another praise offering. Anybody else? Now stand up, give the Lord a good praise offering right now. I want the band to play a song. Where's the band? Where is that band? That family was great stuff. I tell you, that was really good now. Ons almal wag vir julle. moment, this lady from Bulgaria, come forward, please. What is the language you speak there?
We speak Bulgarian.
Bulgarian. You don't speak German?
No, Bulgarian.
Do you understand German?
No.
No?
No.
English?
No, yes.
Yes, English. All right. Now, I need you to take my hand. Raise your hand towards her. Because she comes from a nation which is far away, yet sits in the middle of what I would call time change. For God is about to change the times. It will affect your nation too, and you know that. God is about to change a lot of things. The threat is great. The instability is great. There is an insecurity in the north, and it's building. And people said, like the Prime Minister of Poland said, the President or Prime Minister said, I want to tell you that trouble is coming. I don't want to scare you, but it's true, up in Europe. Now, Bulgaria sits in a place between the East and the West, actually, and Russia, right on the border there. And I pray a blessing over your country. I pray the presence of God in that country. I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Bulgaria. I pray that God will bring the spirit of power passionately upon this woman. She will go back. She will go back in the fire of the Holy Spirit. God ignite her heart tonight. God give her fire. Where she prays, demons will flee. For God is about to turn her life around and cause her, like Lydia out there in Philippi, to bring many people to the Lord. And the kingdom of God shall be expanded even there, even in this late hour, even where Christ is ignored. She will again light up the fire in a nation that is caught up with all kinds of distractions. In this late hour, God grants a blessing upon that land. The nation of Bulgaria, in the name of Jesus, I bless right now and send her out in the power of the Holy Spirit and bring upon her, Lord, the spirit of prayer and intercession for a nation, that many may be saved in that place. In Jesus Christ's name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a good praise offering. Thank you. I thought she was going to talk to me in German now, but she did not. And I understand that. Ek het sommer vir Jannie gevra om vir my te kom vertaal hiersovoor. Amen. Amen. Well, that was something there. I think the jewel of the night was that whole family one time. Isn't that just give God a praise up? Amen. Now, I know some of you should have been in the baptismal pool tonight, but you had wegkruipertjie gespeeld. You were playing hide and go seek. But I know that in your heart, you still want to be baptized. But you can be baptized next week. I will baptize you. If I'm here, I'm not sure always. I'm not always sure if I'm here. But the next time I'm here, I'll tell you that I will baptize like I did tonight. And it's a beautiful family affair, you know. Can you say amen? Amen. The man of the police, stand up. You've had some stuff happening to you physically over the last period of time. Your health is not exactly where it should have been. But you've served faithfully, and you're a retired man, but you are also an upright man. You've dealt with many iniquities, many things that people were transgressing. And now you just want peace. God is giving you that peace. But this night, God is touching you even in your joints. This night, the presence of the Holy Spirit's on you now. Raise your hands to the Lord now. Refreshing. Times of refreshing is upon him now. You young man, you don't really know everything that happens in this place, but a hunger has been stirred in your heart tonight. A hunger for more. God's about ready to give you more. But to get to more, you've got to give your more. You've got to give more of yourself to Him. See, right now things don't make sense, do they? But when God comes in into your life, everything will make sense suddenly when your eyes are opened. Commit your ways to the Lord that He will bless you. Don't walk away from Jesus, but walk to Jesus with all your might right now. You give God a praise offering at God. I bless you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Lord bless you and keep you, lift up His countenance over you, be gracious to you, give you peace. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, Amen.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.